गच्छ कामं मय पृष्ठो मयि सन्नस्त कर्मणा जित्वा सुदुर्जयं मृत्युं अमृतताय मां भज। गच्छ कामं मया पृष्टो मयि सन्न्यस्त कर्मणा जित्वा सुदुर्जयं मृत्युं अमृतत्वाय मां भज। गच्छ कामं मया पृष्टो मयि सन्न्यस्त कर्मणा जित्वा सुदुर्जयं मृत्युं अमृतत्वाय मां भज। गच्छ कामं मया पृष्टो मयि सन्न्यस्त कर्मणा जित्वा सुदुर्जयं मृत्युं अमृतत्वाय मां भज। गच्छ गो कामं एज यू विश मया बाय मी आपृष्टः सैंक्शन्ड मयि टू मी सन्नस्त कंप्लीटली सरेंडर्ड कर्मणा विथ योर एक्टिविटीज जित्वा having conquered sudurjayam insurmountable mrityum death amritataya for eternal life mam me bhaja engage in devotional service. Purport, translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Now being sanctioned by me, go as you desire, surrendering all your activities to me, conquering insurmountable death, worship me for eternal life. Please repeat. Now being sanctioned by me, go as you desire. Surrendering all your activities to me. Conquering insurmountable death. Worship me for eternal life. Very nice. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of Sankhya philosophy is stated herein. If anyone wants real eternal life, he has to engage himself in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. To become free from birth and death is not an easy task. Birth and death are natural to this material body. Sudurjayam means very, very difficult to overcome. The modern so-called scientists do not have sufficient means to understand the process of victory over their birth and death. Therefore, they set aside the question of birth and death. They do not consider it. They simply engage in the problems of the material body, which is transient and sure to end. Actually, human life is meant for conquering the insurmountable process of birth and death. That can be done as stated here, mang bhaja. One must engage in the devotional service of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says, man mana bhavo mad bhakta. Just become my devotee, just worship me. But foolish so-called scholars say that it is not Krishna whom we must worship and to whom we must surrender. It is something else. Without Krishna's mercy, therefore, No one can understand the Sankhya philosophy or any philosophy which is specially meant for liberation. Vedic knowledge confirms that one becomes entangled in this material life because of ignorance, and that one can become free, and that one can become free from material embarrassment by becoming situated in factual knowledge. Sankhya means that factual knowledge by which one can get out of the material entanglement. Gachya kamam maya prishta mai sannasta karmana jitva sudurjayam mrittum amritataya mam bhaja. Now, being sanctioned by me, go as you desire, surrendering all your activities to me. Conquering insurmountable death, worship me for eternal life. Worship me for eternal life. Amritataya mam bhaja. Amritataya means for the sake of amrita. For the sake of amrita means for to get eternal life. Amritataya, for the sake of attaining eternal life, mam bhaja, worship me. So who is saying this? Whose words are these? Lord Kapila Dev. To whom is he saying this? To Kardamanu. So he is instructing his father. Normally, that does not happen. The son does not instruct the father. But here is, who is Kapila Muni? Kapila Muni is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is speaking like the Supreme Personality of Godhead to a desirous living entity. A living entity who is desirous of achieving the perfection of life. So here he is telling the process of perfection of life. Process to achieve the perfection of life. So this verse is actually giving that description. He is saying, Gachya kamam maya prishta. Gachya kamam. Do what you want. Go to fulfill your desire. What was Kardama Muni's desire? Kardama Muni's desire was to retire from home and go to the forest. And now in a way it is kind of unusual. Why? When the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared to him in his house, in his home as his son, why he is leaving his home? Going to the forest, the purpose of going to the forest is to achieve to re-establish the relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. The goal of life, the purpose of going to the forest is to re-establish the relationship with the Supreme Personality. Now here he is fortunate enough to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son. So why is he going there? Prabhupada has explained that point by saying that one must abide by the instructions of the devas. Is the duty of a person to follow the instruction of the Buddha. Kapila Muni also mentioned that beforehand, that sometimes I give the instructions directly and sometimes I give the instructions through the Veda. And both the instructions are so the Vedic injunction is Pancha Shuddhi Bhavanam Brajet, after the age of 50, one should retire from her family life and accept the order of Vanaprastha. That's why Kartava Muni decided to do that. And for a devotee, whether he stays with the Lord or away from the Lord is the same. If you are serving somebody, does it matter whether you are serving him in person, serving his body or serving him indirectly? Does it matter? Like you are serving somebody, you can serve the person personally, or you can cook for the person. When you're cooking for him, that service is not directly related to the body. Not directly. But is it less important? Is cooking less important than massaging his feet? Sometimes cooking is more important than massaging his feet. So service is rendered according to the need of the moment. What service means, what the person wants, act according to that. Defining this point, Prabhupada gave the example, if somebody wants a glass of water, and if you take a glass of milk, thinking that milk is better than water, will it be service to him? He wants water, so give him water, not milk. So what he needs, do that. Now here's the consideration of setting the right example. In Bhagavad Gita, there is the instruction, Jajyad Acharati Srishtas. How many of you know that verse? Okay, very good. Jajyad Acharati Srishtas, Tattad Eve Taro Jana, Sa Jat Pramanam Kurute, Lokas Tad Anuvat. Sajat Pramanam Kurute, the standard that he establishes, people follow that. Just the way Jajat Acharati Sreshta. Sreshta means great person. The way a great person acts, Jajat Acharati Sreshta, Tattat Eve Taro Jana. Eve Eva Itaro Jana. Itaro means inferior person. Superior person, inferior person. So the way the superior people act, inferior people follow. Meaning, the way the leaders act, accordingly, the followers or the mass follow. And the standard that he establishes, Sajat Pramanam Kurute, Lokastadanupat. That loka means people in general follow that standard. So that's why great personality like Kartava Muni, being very concerned about setting the right example, being very concerned about the example that he set, he decided to go to the forest. Do you remember this? This was which verse? The purport? I think it is the purport of 30. The purport of 35. The personality of Godhead, Kapila said, whatever I speak, whether directly or in the scripture, is authoritative in all respects for the people of this world. O Muni, because I told you before that I would become your son, I have descended to fulfill the truth. That's the text 35. And in that text, Prabhupada is explaining that point, and Prabhupada is saying at the beginning, Kartava Muni was to leave his family life to completely engage in the service of the Lord. But since he knew that the Lord himself, as Kapila, had taken birth in his home as his own son. Why was he preparing to leave home to search out self-realization or God-realization? God himself was present in his home. Why should he leave home? Such a question may certainly arise, but here it is said that whatever is spoken in the Vedas and whatever is practiced in accordance with the injunctions of the Vedas is to be accepted as authoritative in society. Vedic authority says that a householder must leave home after the 50th year. Panchashodhya banam brojet, one must leave his family life and enter the forest after the age of 50. So that is the text 35 of this chapter and the purport of Srila Prabhupada. So that is why Kardama Muni desired to leave. Kapildev therefore is telling, Gacha, go. Gacha means go. Kamang means according to your wish. Gacha kamang, maya prishto means, maya means by me, and prishto means sanctioned. It has been approved by me, it has been sanctioned by me. You wanted to go to the forest? Okay. I am approving of it. Go to the forest. So, and then he is pointing out, what should he do in the forest? One should achieve the ultimate goal of life. That ultimate, mai sannasta karma na. Mai, unto me, and sannastha karmana, surrendering all your activities unto me. Just don't go to the forest. Prabhupada sometimes used to give the example. The monkeys also live in a forest. And in a way, monkey's life is quite akin to a sannyasi's life in the forest. Monkey also lives naked. Monkey also eats fruits. And roots, vegetarian, leaves. Just this is the action, just to live in the forest without any possession, and eating fruits and roots, is that the goal of life? The monkeys also do that. So what is the purpose of going to the forest? That's the consideration. The purpose of going to the forest is to become completely absorbed in the meditation on the Supreme Personality of God. So that there is no other interruption, no other disturbance. Mind is completely fixed in the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of God. Mai sannastya karmana. All your activities should be surrendered unto me. Activities means, this activities are threefold. Activities are karmana, manasa, gira. Karmana, activities, actions. Manasa, the thoughts of the mind. So body, mind, and gira. Gira means words. So that means, when they go to the forest, what do? They either remain silent or they simply chant the glory of the Lord. These are the activities of a sannyasi in the forest. Now, then Prabhupada pointed out, then why? But sannyas has been banned in the age of Kali. Four things has been banned in this age. Ashwamedham, Gavalabdham, Sanyasa Palapautrikam, Devarena Sutatpatti, Kalo Pancha Vivarjayat. Five activities have been vivarjaya, discarded, or did not authorize, hasn't been authorized in the age of Kali. Kalo pancha vivarjaya. What are those five activities? Ashwamedhan, ashwamedh yajna, gavalabdham, gomedh yajna, ashwamedh yajna, gomedh yajna, ashwamedham, gavalabdham, sannyasa, acceptance of sannyas, palapaitrikam, offering meat in the shraddha ceremony of the departed forefather, departed souls. Palapaitrikam, and devarena sutakpatti. When the brother dies without having any offspring, there is a approval, there is a custom in the Vedic culture that the brother can, the elder brother can procreate in the womb of the younger, departed younger brother's wife's womb. The example of that is Vasudev. When Vichitravirja died without having any child, then the whole dynasty was about to come to an end, the Kuru dynasty. Bhishma is the only one alive, but Bhishma already took a vow that he will remain a lifelong brahmachari. So Bhishma actually, Satyavati first, I requested Bhishma to get married. Bhishma said, I have taken a vow, lifelong celibacy. So Shatavati said, because of me you have taken that vow, and I am asking you to do that. Actually the condition was Shatavati's father, Dhivararaj, the leader of the fishermen, the king of fishermen, made the condition that to Santanu, who wanted to marry Shatavati. Satyavati was an extremely beautiful woman. And so when Shantanu saw her, he fell in love with her. The king wanted to marry this daughter of the fisherman. Actually, she was not the daughter of a fisherman. She was the daughter of a very exalted personality, Purichar Vashu. But somehow she came into the custody of this fisherman. So she was brought up by him. Just as Karna. Karna was actually the son of Suryadev and Kunti. But he was brought up by Adhiraj Suta, the Suta charioteer, chariot driver. So in the history, things happened like that in the past. Anyway, so Shantanu wanted to marry Satyavati. And Satyavati's father told that the astrologers told about my daughter that her son will become a king. So you can marry her only on that condition that her son will become the king. So Shantanu said, no, I can't accept that because I have already a son, and he is already very, very qualified, and he has already been coronated as the crown prince. So then Dhivaraj said, okay, Satyavati's father said, then you can't get married to him. So Santanu went back, but he was feeling very morose. Bhishma then found out what was the cause of his depression. So Bhishma went to this Dhivararaj and told that, please, why aren't you allowing a daughter to get married to the king? It's your good fortune that your daughter is getting married to the king of the entire Bharatvarsha, entire earth planet. So father told the whole story. So then Bhishma said, if that is the case, then okay, I denounce my claim over the throne. I won't have any claim on it. Then Satavati's father said, okay, you may give up your claim on the throne, but what about your children? Then my daughter's children and your children will have a feud, will have a conflict. And that is not desirable. So, at that, Bhishma said, okay, in that case I won't get married. I'll remain a brahmachari all my life. So this is also another very important thing that we understand from the scriptures, from the Vedic scriptures, that how man proposes and destiny disposes. Man proposes, God disposes. Man wants things in a certain way and the course of destiny arranges things in another way. Like here we see that the whole struggle was to be the king, that her children would become the king. Her son became the king, but died young, and he didn't have any children. So the royal line, lineage has to continue. Royal lineage has to continue. So, now, it was told that Bhishma promised that he won't get married. Just to let Shantanu and Satyavati's son become the king and their line continue without any hindrance. But here we are seeing Vichitravirya died before the Chitrangada died before the elder brother. Shantanu had two sons through Satyavati, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. And Chitrangada was older and he died. He died young. There was a Yaksha, Gandharva king, also with the same name, Chitrangada. And when he heard that on the earth planet there is a very glorious, famous person called Chitrangada, a human being, so he challenged him, he said that there can't be two Chitrangadas. You fight with him. Right? Whoever wins, he'll survive and he'll have the fame. And for a long time, they fought. And after that long battle, Chitrangada, the son of Satyavati, died. Then Vichitravirya became the king, and Bhishma got him married to two wives, Ambika and Ambalika, two daughters of Kashiraj, king of Kashi. But unfortunately, Vichitravirya also died at a young age. There was no one to succeed the throne. So Satyavati told Bhishma to get married. Bhishma was unwavered, undaunted. No. And so then Satyavati considered that if Bhishma is not going to, Bhishma actually was very angry when Satyavati proposed that. And Bhishma's life is actually very, very pathetic life. He was such a qualified person. The son of Ganga Devi, Mother Ganga, a celestial being. Actually, she is not only a celestial personality, she was Krishna's eternal consort. Ganga got married to Shantanu and Bhishma was born, the eighth son. And after the birth, Ganga left Shantanu and took the son to the heavenly planet. And she trained him up to become the successor to the royal dynasty. He learned the military art from Parashuram, an incarnation of the Lord in the military art. And he studied Veda under Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods. And he was endowed with all good qualities. Trained up, such a qualified person. But eventually he was deprived of the kingdom, then the line. It was so, the Kuru dynasty was so unfortunate actually at that time. Like Vichitravirya died, Chitrangada died, and no child. Then one child is born, as they was called, as I was saying, Devarena Sutatpatti. It is a customary, it could have been like when this young brother died without any offspring, then the elder brother could procreate just to maintain the line. So then Satyavati told that she had a son, that is Vasudev, through Parashar Muni. She begot a son before she got married to Shantanu. So Vasudev was called to procreate in the womb of Ambika. But the son that was born was blind, Dhritarashtra. Then another son was born from Ambalika, that is Pandu. And a third son was born through a maidservant, Vidura. And Dhritarashtra was blind. Pandu also died young. And then there was this struggle between Dhritarashtra's sons, Duryodhan, and his 99 brothers, 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, and the 5 sons of Pandu, which eventually led to the battle of Kurukshetra. Everybody tried to avert that battle, but it didn't happen. So, Bhishma's life is actually very, very pathetic life. Such a great person, but he was, the course of his life was so disappointing. Anyway, we'll have a seminar on Mahabharata. Actually, Mahabharata is very important to understand what we are studying. We read Bhagavad Gita without actually understanding. We just get the philosophy without getting background. Mahabharata actually gives us the background. And Mahabharata, actually Gita is a part of the Mahabharata. And through Mahabharata we understand Bhagavad Gita, and through Srimad Bhagavatam we understand Mahabharata. Mahabharata can be quite confusing. Because Mahabharata is basically dealing with karma kanda. But only when we read Srimad Bhagavatam and after that we read Mahabharata, then we understand how it is. Actually Mahabharata is projecting pure devotional service to the world. But indirectly. Not directly. Bhagavatam is giving the direct understanding of the goal of life. As it's said here. Purpose, what is the purpose of Sankhya philosophy? To become a devotee of Krishna. What is the goal of life? Time and time again. And through Mahabharata, how do you understand that? In Mahabharata, you understand it in an indirect way. That way, Jatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Jatra Partha Dhanurdhara. Tatra Shri Vijaya, then Bhuti, Dhruvaniti Mati. So wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, victory is bound to be. Actually, it seems that in Mahabharata, the battle of Kurukshetra, it was impossible for Pandavas to win the battle. Like, first of all, their army was much less, much weaker. Duryodhana had 11 Akshohini, and they had 7 Akshohini. And that is one-third. No, two-third. The Pandava army is two-third of the Kaurava army. And who is in the side of Kaurava? Bhishma, who actually had, he was not only a very, very accomplished warrior, but he had the benediction that he will never die unless he wanted to die. Unless he wanted to die, nobody could kill him. Then Dronacharya, another personality who was invincible. Nobody could defeat him in a battle. As long as he had a weapon in hand, nobody could defeat him. Then Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Somadatta, Bhurishrava, these are all very, very powerful personalities. So how could Pandava... That's why Duryodhana was so confident that he was going to win the battle. But eventually what do we see? That Pandavas won. Now what does it prove? That side with Krishna and you will win. So what should be the goal of life? Is the goal of life to lose or to win? You want to win? The winning is the goal of life? So what's the best way to win? Side with Krishna. And how do you side with Krishna? Surrender to Krishna. Become his devotee. A very simple truth, very simple instruction. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Radha.
Who has caused Satyavati and Parashurmani and Vyasi? I mean,
sometimes it happens like that a very great personality in other ages like produce children without getting married because they are so exalted that they could bring a deserving soul to get an appropriate body in this way. Just like Brahma can create from his mind, these great personalities could also produce offspring in this way. Many of these personalities are like that. They are born out of wedlock. Like Vasudev. Now, yeah, it is beyond us. Three. Okay. The Rishi is Jagavalka, and the woman is Maitreyi.
The ashram of Varnakras in ISKCON, what does it mean, and how is it executed, and is it relevant to women?
In ISKCON, Varnakras means, first of all, ISKCON is Vrindavan. It's a forest. So after 50, just join ISKCON. Right? So retire from your family life and become a full-time devotee.
Has already joined.
Huh? Yeah. So that is, they're already in that situation, transcendental situation. Therefore, there is no other consideration of vanapras for them. But if they want, they can officially establish that order. It happens, some devotee, they officially take the Vanaprastha order. That means the man, even though they are husband and wife, even though they are married, but the man wears saffron. It happened many cases. But when husband and wife are together, then they don't wear saffron. What is the next question? These were the three questions? Okay. Yes, Nitaichan.
Various places that kings of the Hastinapur dynasty, like a different place, ruler of the entire Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha actually covered the entire world. But we see other parallel kingdoms also, Magad Raj is there.
But they were subordinate. They were subordinate to that other king. So other kings were there. But they were the Ekachatra Samrat. Right? You see, like, the structure is like that. There are subordinate kings, then they have more, you know, their leader, leading king. And in this way, the ultimate one, who is one person under whom all the other kings are ruling, so they are called the Sarvabhauma or Ekachatra. Yeah, at that time it was, you see, that's the thing, like to establish their sovereignty, the king performs a Rajasuya Yajna or Ashwamedh Yajna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was about to, he wanted to perform the Rajasuya Yajna, right? And that's why Krishna told him to first kill Jarasandha. Because if Jarasandha was on his way, it would be difficult for him to perform the Ashwamedha Yajna, the Rajasuya Yajna. So he got rid of the sin. Okay, any other question? Very good. Thank you. No more question. Hare Krishna. Yes, you have a question.
For understanding Mahabharata, we should know Bhakti and Bhagavatam. So like Sannyas, so I don't know much about Bhagavatam.
Well, Bhagavatam, you know Bhagavatam, you are reading Bhagavatam. Do you know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Then you know Bhagavatam. Do you know that to become the devotee of Krishna is the ultimate goal of life? Then you have understood Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Where is Sadhan Siddha? So do you have any don't you have any question to me? You understood everything? Tell me what. I have a question for you. So tell me what you understood in today's class. Tell us just what you understood. Tell us that. What happened? Okay. Yes, Radhani. Huh? In English, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Because so many devotees are coming from India. Okay. Okay, so it can be translated.
Well, there is college in Indore, so they have this, like, the logo and a slogan. So they have this verse, like, Yogeshwarish.
But do they follow that? Just they have the logo. If they're intelligent, do that. Okay, Hare Krishna. It's nice though that at least they have the, they have that shloka in that logo. Premamrit, are you comfortable sitting on the floor? Yeah? Yeah. If you, you can sit on a chair. Yeah. Anyway, as long as you can comfortably manage. Hare Krishna. And how was the 24-hour kirtan yesterday? I couldn't go last night. I was thinking of going in the kirtan. I got this back pain. So terrible. I was thinking the other day Mr. Mansinka came, Janmashtami day, and he was telling me that he had the back pain. And then I was thinking that throughout the Abhishek and the Aratik, the midnight Aratik, he stood there. And I was thinking, such devotion, in spite of his back pain, he stood there for at least 1 hour. In two occasions. And not only that, the crowd was pushing him also. He was in the front. And especially when you tried to throw those garlands. Right. That's why it's better not to give anything, because then the whole crowd, and there are ladies also in the front, and they just follow him. People don't, they become completely unconcerned. I was thinking of phoning Mr. Mansingh and thank him for that. Such nice attachment to Krishna. And how many of us, you are leaving today? Like Monica, you are leaving today. Who else is leaving? Who came and leaving? And also at the same time I want to welcome Mr. Your name I forgot.
Shankar.
Okay. Yeah. Shankar what?
Jasnani.
Oh, Mr. Shankar Jasnani. Yeah, Mr. Shankar Jasnani just came from Bombay. You came to stay here for a few days?
Yeah, tomorrow we are going back.
Tomorrow
to
Surat. Okay. So you are going to meet your son there. You have two sons there.
Yeah, two sons. One in Dubai. He met you in Dubai.
Right.
Bhaktisiddhanta.
So are you comfortably situated?
Yeah.
Yeah? You're staying in the guest house?
No. I am staying somewhere else.
Oh. Where are you staying?
In Shivaji Nagar.
Oh, you have some relatives?
Some
or?
Relatives, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for coming. And Monica, thank you for coming. So study nicely, do very well. Your sister left already, right?
No, she'll be leaving in the evening.
She'll be leaving. She's going to Chennai.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Convey my thanks to her for coming. And is everyone going to stay now? Very good. Many devotees will come. Oh, that reminds me. Shubhananda is here?
Yes.
Shubhananda? Yeah. Krishnarchan is coming. He called you already. Okay. He's all of a sudden he decided. Krishnarchan is coming from South Africa, from Durban. From London, quite a few are coming. Yeah, Satyamata and right. Srinivas, I didn't see you. But I heard yesterday that you came. So everything is alright? Where are you staying?
First floor
of the church. Comfortable there? It's okay. That means not that comfortable. See what you can do for him. He's a very senior devotee. You've been in the movement for how many years?
286.
Wow. 86, that means 24 years. How old were you at that time?
18.
Very staunch brahmachari. And how our young brahmacharis do. You all are doing well? Okay. Did you lead a kirtan yesterday? I heard. How many times you led kirtan? In the evening you are leading. This morning also you are leading?
No.
Gaurachan started. Oh, right. Very good. So you sang only for 1 hour. Right? 1 hour you, 1 hour you. How many hours you sang?
I have to play kartal.
Okay, so you sang also. You may not have led, but you sang. What about you?
Danced.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I want name.
You want a name? Tell me, what's your name? Your name is?
Prithviraj.
Very nice. So you have such a beautiful name. It's a very nice name. Okay. Okay. And what's your name?
Sushant.
Tushar. That's also a very beautiful name. Hare Krishna, all glories.